Oh, we need to get fit. Listen, your sister right here, I got about a good 80 pounds or so that I want to lose. And this woman, Esther, she is amazing. Okay. She's a best-selling author, podcast host, speaker, coach, all of that stuff. But she talks to us about what it means to actually be fit, right? Through her framework that she has to help women. She talks about her client who's lost about 100 pounds. She talks about what we need in our life. How do we structure that? You know, what do we do to start changing our lives to become healthier? And I really enjoyed this conversation. So I cannot wait for you guys to listen to this. This was amazing. Let's go. What up, y'all? This is Nina Perez, and this is Straight Talk, No Sugar Added. I wanted to thank you guys so much because I was looking at my numbers, and I cannot believe you guys. You guys are amazing. So I have about 160,000-170,000, you know, views on YouTube. I got about 120,000 downloads going on. You guys are killing it. And so I want to thank you so much for that because you know I find the best humans on the planet to come on here to grow, challenge, and transform your thinking. Now, before we go ahead and get started, make sure you like, share, subscribe. You know the drill, y'all. I'll just get it done, okay? Because today's guest is Esther Avant. I wanted to keep making it French, like Avant, but it's Avant, okay? She's a best-selling author, a podcast, a host, a speaker. She's a coach with nearly two decades in the wellness industry. Now, her book and podcast are both titled To Your Health, guiding women towards unstoppable confidence through her signature fit framework. Now we're going to talk about that because I want to know what that is. Now she is a Navy wife. She's a mom. Esther knows firsthand the challenges of juggling family, career, and personal wellness. And she's on a mission to help others find that perfect balance. Y'all know what balance is? Sometimes I don't know what balance is, y'all. So get ready to discover how simple and sustainable the habits can be to elevate you to that health, the happiness, the success, the things that we are all looking for. Esther, welcome to Straight Talk. I'm glad you're
here. Thank you so much. That is quite an introduction. Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
Yeah, I'm glad you're here. You know, I think it's super important, like especially, you know, maybe in the last, I would say the last couple of years, but really the last year I've been digging into what is health and why, you know, why is that important and what I wanted in my life and how do I change my program, Esther, because I have a terrible program running for emotions to sugar, running, you know, boredom, sugar, like everything was things that are not healthy for me, right? But now I'm getting older, right? I'm 52. And everything's happening, Esther. Everything, right? So I want to dig into your brain on all of what fit means and all that. But before we get started, I want to know more about who you are. So who are you? Who are you, Chica? Who are you?
Thank you. That's a good question. I know it can be hard for moms, especially, and, you know, business owners to identify as anything besides kind of those labels.
Yeah.
And, you know, I am. I'm a Navy wife. I'm a mom. I'm a business owner. I'm a coach, an author, all the things, you know, but at the end of the day, I'm just a person. I want to do some good in the world. I want to have healthy relationships. I want to feel good. I want to look good. I want to, you know, feel like I've made the most with the time that I have. So I'm based in San Diego and looking forward to some upcoming travel to Hawaii and to Maine. And my son is in kindergarten. He's playing baseball. My husband's about to deploy. And, you know, I like to exercise. I like to be outside. I like to try new restaurants. I like to meet new people. I like to read. That's kind of me in a nutshell.
That's so good. That's so good, right? And that's so hard too, because you know, hubby's deploying, right? How long is he gone for?
It'll be about 6 or 7 months.
Yeah, that's a long time, right?
That's a while.
Especially when you have a little one around, right? Because it's kind of cool to have, you know, him around and stuff. Although I am really grateful for your husband's service. My husband was in the Army for many, you know, for years, and so I know what you mean. And my father did it. My uncles did it. They all served, and I have a lot of pride in that, right? I think it's a beautiful thing. And so, your 5-year-old, how fun is that, right?
It's pretty fun. It's a very fun age. Yeah. He's my little buddy. And I think it'll be, I try to look for the silver linings. You know, it stinks to have our, you know, our third gone for so long, but it's an opportunity for us to do some fun stuff together and make some memories. And I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah. You know, I teach children how to cook, and that's my favorite age. Like 5 and 6 year olds are hilarious. I love it so much. So I'm grateful for that. But tell me about your wellness journey, right? Because I love that you're keeping yourself healthy, right? I'm a grandma now, and I've been thinking a lot about that. I've been thinking a lot about how do I, even though we're not promised tomorrow, how do I try to be here tomorrow for her? And them and the boys too, like they're getting a little older. One's 5 years old and the baby, all the way down to the baby who's 6 months old. And I'm like, I want to be here, Esther. I want to be healthy. I want to be here for them. What was your journey? And were you always healthy? Was it something you struggled with? Let's talk about that.
That's a really good question. From the outside looking in, I, for a long time, have done things that look healthy, but I was not necessarily doing them in healthy ways the whole time. The beginning of my health journey was kind of an obsessive aesthetic-based thing of feeling like I needed to look a certain way, being really concerned about, you know, eating as few calories as possible and trying to outwork what I had eaten in the gym, and kind of typical binge and restrict kind of tendencies that I looked, you know, I wasn't overweight, I wasn't underweight, but kind of what was going on in my brain that was driving the behaviors was not a healthy thing. And part of why so much of the coaching that I do now is mindset and lifestyle based is because I know that that's what makes the difference. That it's not that we need another list of, you know, good and bad foods. It's not that we need another workout challenge. It's that we need to, you know, figure out what's going on between my ears that's making this stuff hard or not stick or things like that. So I had, you know, certainly my own ups and downs of trying to figure out, you know, why am I doing these things and how do I get out of it? And for, I'd say the last probably close to 10 years, probably like 8 or so years, I've been in a really healthy, balanced place that I feel good about, you know, the things that I'm doing and why I'm doing them. And to your point, when I became a mom, it was really kind of a shift for me also that, of course, I still want to look good, but so much more of why I exercise is now thinking 10, 20, 30, you know, 50 years down the road of what am I doing now to create the future that I want. And if I want to be independent and strong and able to get down on the ground and play with my, you know, future grandkids, that work starts now. So a lot, a lot less aesthetic based, a lot less kind of ego driven, but more so if my goal is to be showing up in 30 years, what I'm doing today might look different so that I'm not running myself into the ground, getting injured, overworking myself. So it's a lot more kind of nuanced than it is the way it used to be, so black and white.
Now, what got you out of the black and white though, right? Because there had to be something that shifted, because if you look good and you're feeling good and you're not overweight, you're not underweight, something's missing here, right? So I want to know what the link is. Something clicked in your brain where you said, this is not healthy for me. What was that?
Yeah. Honestly, I think it was just being tired of feeling so down on myself that although I wasn't, you know, outwardly one extreme or the other, I was constantly battling in my head. I was constantly either thinking about food or berating myself for what I had just done. It was just, it was like all consuming. And I just reached a point where I was like, I don't want this anymore. I don't want to constantly be thinking about this. And I know that's something so many women I've worked with can relate to, is just thinking about the mental energy that's going to this. Not, you know, not actively I'm exercising, so I'm thinking about exercise, but more so if like every minute of the day is spent in the back of your mind thinking, oh, I don't look good in this. I don't feel comfortable in this. I'm upset about that. It's exhausting. And I wanted to stop feeling that way. And of course it was a process. It's not like overnight I was like, oh, I should stop doing this, and did. It came with time. But you know, once you kind of realize I certainly don't want to stay here, it's easier to start figuring out, you know, where you want to go.
Is that where your fit framework started being evolving and started coming into play?
What we've been talking about is a big piece of it. So the two T's are treating yourself with compassion and taking personal responsibility. And I think those two are the backbone of anything you want to do, any change you want to make.
Okay.
And I think we have a tendency to have too much of one and not enough of the other, where sometimes you have sort of that like hardcore militant, like everything is your responsibility, and just kind of this like no compassion involved.
Right. Yeah.
And it's like really hardcore and it doesn't necessarily feel very good. And on the flip side of that, you have like kind of this like woo-woo, everything is okay. Like, hey, you're just like doing your best and what will be. And almost like this disempowering, like, okay, well, I don't need to just blindly accept everything that's going on. So I think finding the ability to balance the two, or kind of like move yourself along the spectrum of the two, where it's like, sometimes, for example, when you are imperfect, we all have these really high standards for ourselves, and inevitably we fall short of them pretty often. And when we do, instead of taking it in stride, we're really hard on ourselves, and we like make it define us, and we jump to these conclusions like, well, I guess I'm always going to be, you know, overweight or unsuccessful or whatever it is. We're really, really not nice to ourselves. So
yeah,
a lot of times we need more compassion to just say like, hey, how would I react if this was a friend? I'd probably be like, hey, you did the best that you could. You can learn from this. It's not a big deal. You didn't mess anything up. You'd be encouraging. And in fact, the only way that you can truly change is to do it from a place of love and compassion rather than trying to hate yourself into something different.
Yeah.
And at the same time, if all you're doing is being accepting, then you're never actually changing anything. So it's important to have both, where you're saying, all right, I did the best that I could, and now I know better. Now with this new information, I'm going to change something that I'm doing, so I'm not beating my head against the wall wondering why nothing is changing. So those, I think, are the backbone of everything, whether it's health related or business related or family related. When you can, I call the kind of the merging of the two compassionate ownership. When you can develop that skill and apply it to whatever you're working toward, you're going to be so much more successful.
That's so true, right? Because that's not just in health, that's even in your entrepreneurship, in your your business, your leadership. You know, as I'm thinking about what you're saying, I'm like, you know, I've done both. Like, I've beat myself up and just like really bad and down on myself. I wouldn't do that to a friend or a family member, but I definitely do that to me. And then there's also been the other side, like, girl, you got this, you've been good, da, da, da. And it has given me a false permission to not take care of myself. And so now I'm finding that place that you're talking about, right? That in-between place where you just like, okay, I really messed up here, but what do I do tomorrow to correct that,
right?
You know, to fix that? Or not even tomorrow, maybe the next meal, maybe the next action. Because the way my brain used to work was, well, I messed up, I might as well wait till Monday.
Yes, I live in that space.
Yeah, well, me too. And you know, I'll start Monday. Ran for about 15, 20 years, right?
Yep.
So, you know, and that's the thing, like we keep fooling ourselves, and it's just a mechanism in our brain to protect us, right? Because we don't know what we don't know. And, you know, for a long time, I beat myself up. You're never going to lose weight. It's never going to happen. You've promised yourself for years. What are you doing? This is a waste of time, blah, blah, blah. And then the other part of me is like, well, let's get curious. Like, what if we did?
Yeah.
Like, what if we did? You know, and then I'm like, ooh, what if we do? You know, like that kind of, it's interesting how you can shift your own mindset by just shifting and reframing the way you talk to yourself, right?
1,000%.
Yeah, it's so good. I'm glad that you work on the mindset piece because that's important. And now your signature fit framework is helping women like really take control of their health. So talk to us a little bit about what exactly does the whole fit stand for? You gave us some of the T's, but what does the whole fit stand for? And how can the women who are listening, like myself, we can really start implementing some of these core principles like right away? Like what can we start doing? Yeah.
Yeah. I want to share one thing going back to the kind of I messed up the day, because this has been a game changer for me and for a lot of clients, because I can so distinctly remember, you know, it would be 11 a.m. and I'd be like, well, I blew it. So I might as well just stuff my face the entire rest of the day, you know, up until 11:59. And then tomorrow I'm going to be so perfect and I'm never going to do this again. Something that can be really freeing is to just think of the day the way you would like a sports game that's divided into sections or quarters.
Ah.
So, all right. So maybe, you know, maybe you lost Q1. Let's go back out and win Q2. Or maybe you're down at the half. There's still a half a game left. Like you can go out and, you know,
so good. Great way to think about it.
And still end on a good note, right? Like you still, you know, calorically, maybe you still overeat, but like the way you feel at the end of the day is drastically different. So if that's something that you were struggling with, try that out.
I am, because that is what I'm struggling with. That's a great idea. Yeah.
Okay. So let's talk the F and the I. So this framework came about after years of coaching and realizing that everybody was struggling with the same challenges and that those are the main things we needed to overcome. So first and foremost, everybody feels overwhelmed and like there are so many things I need to change in order to be a quote unquote healthy person that it's exhausting. I've got a job. I've got a family. I don't have time to be making celery juice every morning and go rooting my feet in the sand for 30 minutes and like all these, this laundry list of things that you feel like you should be doing. So the F is figuring out and consistently doing what I call the big rock habits. Mm-hmm. So if you have a weight loss goal, all the things are not equally effective. The thing that drives weight loss, whether or not you want to, you know, hear about it, is calorie balance. So whether or not you're tracking calories or you're aware of them, that's what's determining whether you're gaining or losing weight. Of course, there are other factors involved, but at its simplest, calories in, calories out, which is then affected by a whole host of other things. So figuring out a way for you to get accountable for what you are eating and drinking. Maybe it's food tracking, maybe it's photos, maybe it's just really paying attention, being mindful when you're eating and listening to your hunger and fullness cues. Maybe it's portioning out what you normally do and then leaving a little bit on the plate and reducing things that way. So your calories matter, your protein and your fiber intake matter. Trying to prioritize those is going to help with muscle retention, satiety, overall nutrient density of your diet. And you'll notice what I don't mention there is I'm not saying you need to be counting carbs. I'm not saying you need to be fasting. You need to be eating six small meals a day. Those are, I call them like pebbles in sand. It would take a lot of pebbles in sand to make an impact. Or you can take the big rocks and you can focus on those. That's what's going to generate the majority of your results. Okay. So if all you're really focusing on is, you know, can I maximize my protein? Where's my fiber source? If that's what you're focusing on, it's a lot less daunting than trying to do, you know, 8, 9, 10 things at once. Exercise wise, big rocks, just daily general movement. Are you getting up and moving around throughout the day? Most of us spend our work day in front of a screen of some sort and then, you know, go sit in a car, sit on a couch, lay in our beds. Are you making an intentional effort to get up and move? You know, I have a walking pad I often use. I try to take a walk around the neighborhood as I'm able. Are you carving out intentional ways to just move, you know, outside of exercise? Because our modern lifestyles have basically eliminated the need for those. So now we need to add them back on purpose. Yep. Number two, strength training. Are you getting a few full body heavy lifting sessions each week, especially for women of peri and menopausal age? Our bone density and our muscle mass are some of the most important things we can be doing for ourselves. And it often gets neglected. Women just, you know, maybe aren't comfortable doing it. They've come from kind of a cardio queen type background of, oh, I need to be on the elliptical or I need to be jogging. That's what always worked. And it's kind of a mental shift to slow down. You know, maybe I'm not sweating as much, maybe not breathing as heavy, but this stuff is really, really important. But again, I'm not saying gym every single day of the week. I'm not saying for, you know, hours and hours. What matters is that you're getting in some lifting a few times. And then the third big rock is your rest and recovery. That again, you're not driving yourself into the ground, burning the candle at both ends and depleting yourself. You are working hard with intention, and then you're allowing your body to recover and benefit from what you've done. So things like cardio or kind of your maybe accessory workouts like a bar or Pilates, that's not that there's no place for those or that you can't do them or that you shouldn't or anything like that. It's just, you know, first prioritize the big rocks and then with the available resources, time, energy, money, you know, bandwidth, add in the other stuff that you enjoy. Okay. So that's the F is reduce the overwhelm by focusing on less, which allows you to do those things more consistently. And then they're going to work better for you. And then the I is increasing your support system. So I know in my personal business building experience, how stubborn I was, and I felt like I should be able to do this myself and how long I spent trying to do just that.
Girl, preach.
Little to no success.
Preach.
And my husband for a long time was saying like, why don't you hire someone to help you? And I finally did and was like, goodness, why didn't I do this years ago? It just helps so much to have somebody who's done the thing and can say, here, here's the mistakes that you're going to make. I'm going to help you not make them. You're going to get there faster. You're going to get there with more enjoyment, and you're going to get there, you know, more, and you're going to be more successful when you do. So, you know, recognizing that it's really a sign of strength and confidence to ask for help. And it just expedites the process. Everybody has gaps in their skill sets. That's all this is. Yeah. You know how to do something that I don't. I want to learn. Fastest way for me to learn is to learn from you. Yeah. So not being afraid to do that. And then also looking at, you know, kind of your peer-to-peer support. If you want to normalize a change in your lifestyle or a change in your behavior, it helps a lot to have people around you who are already doing that thing. So if you want to have a successful business, do you have any friends who have businesses? Do you want to maybe join a networking group or a mastermind where you get to be around that kind of energy and you can bounce ideas off each other and celebrate and commiserate and things like that? Same thing with your health. Is everybody around you, you know, sedentary and, you know, doing crash diets that you know aren't going to work, but, you know, nobody's really doing it in a way that feels healthy or like it's going to last? There are people who are. So find those people. Join an exercise group or a meetup group or take a cooking class or just something that gets you exposed to people who are already doing the thing and helps you see that, you know, if it's possible for them, it's possible for you.
That's really, really good, right? Because, and that's why I always tell people too, like, I did the same thing you did, Esther. Oh my God, it took so long. It took so long because I'm so smart. You know, I'm so smart. Yes. I could do this. Oh my gosh, it took forever. And then just the other day, I was talking to one of my clients and she was telling me, she goes, Nina, what the heck? Where would I be right now without you? Because she goes, I hit these walls and you're just like right there to help me through them. And that's the thing, right? With like entrepreneurship, with weight loss, with all of, with health, all of that. If you don't have someone by your side that can help you, guide you, whether it's a coach, I don't know, a mentor, a teacher, a friend, whatever, you're going to hit a wall. And when you hit that wall, if you don't have anyone to pull you up and pull you through, you're going to give yourself excuses. You're going to put yourself down and you're not going to do it. You're just not. I mean, if we could, then we wouldn't need each other, Esther. That's the thing, right?
Right. That's so, exactly it. You would have done it by now.
You would have done it by now, right? I would have done, girl, I would have been 120 by now. Okay. So yes, exactly. You know, and I love that. I love that you have this framework, right? Because you're helping them understand that, listen, why don't we get those big rocks in first? Let's get those things in solid in your life first so that then we can add the other things you want to add, like the Pilates, like the extra food, like the treats, like the whatever. Right. So I love that because, you know, I think let me just speak for myself. I think what I do sometimes is I approach it as an all or nothing thing. Mm-hmm. Right. And so if I can't go to the gym every day, what am I paying for the gym for? Forget it. You know what I mean? Like that kind of mentality that's not helping me. Right. And so I've been trying to really focus on that and shift that and change that. And amazing people like yourself who sent me like some, you know, great workshops to look at and all that kind of stuff. Like it's time to, I want to be healthy. I'm 52. It's just like, it's just time. It's like, there is no other time, but now. Right. And so I love that you're helping women like really get to know themselves and also just get these simple and sustainable habits, right? Because you emphasize how like just having all these small, consistent habits, but these rocks in your life can really start to cause this drastic change, right? So what do you believe is like an incremental habit that they can start building that's going to yield some results? You know, I don't want to say quick fixes because there's no such thing. Right. But if you were to like have a client in front of you right now that just needs to start forming some sort of habit in their life, what would that be for you?
Oh, that's such a great question. It's really interesting. So I've noticed there's kind of two like personality types. There are people who just really feel like I need to go for the big kahuna. I need the thing that's going to be the most impactful, because if I don't see like a pretty immediate ROI, I know that I'm going to quit like I always have. Mm-hmm, and then there are people who are like, I have done the big kahuna a bunch of times and I always fall flat. I need to start much smaller. I just need something that like will get me a quick win, a little bit of momentum, and then I can gradually increase from there. And neither is better than the other, but I think it's helpful to kind of know where you fall.
Interesting. Mm-hmm.
So one, if you're trying to go for kind of the low hanging fruit, water, you know, hydration is a great place to start. have 16 ounces by your bed when you wake up in the morning and drink it before your feet hit the floor. Just starting your day with water instead of coffee is a really good start. I started doing it a couple of years ago and I never like felt super thirsty in the morning, but I can almost like, it sounds weird, but I can almost like feel my body
getting hydrated.
Yes. And I just immediately feel better. So that's a really easy one where it just like, it's not that the water itself is like hugely impactful, but it's just kind of like, it's this vote early in the morning for being a healthy person. A healthy person wakes up and has a glass of water. Like that just seems like something that feels right. So if I've already done that thing, then like, what are some other things that a healthy person might do? It kind of, it just sets the day off to a good start.
Okay.
If you're more of a big kahuna type person, two things come to mind right away and they're very intertwined, but cutting out after dinner snacking is a really easy way to cut out excess calories that you don't even really want or need. You're probably physically hungry from dinner and you're just eating out of habit and because, you know, snacks and treats taste good. But if you could, it's very easy if you have young kids where you're taking them to the bathroom to go brush their own teeth, just brush your own. I put my retainers in right after dinner. And
good idea.
Like, I have just trained myself like, well, now, you know, the body is closed. There's no more food coming in until tomorrow and you'll survive. And it's, you know, that first week or two is a little bit of a rude awakening where you're just like, but I'm used to. And you kind of parent yourself through it and you're fine. So that's one that's pretty big. And the other is snacking, which is a little bit more kind of convoluted because generally women snack more because we eat meals that are too small because we still have that like, I need to eat as little as possible. I'm a little bird kind of mentality. Yeah. So generally tackling snackling.
We're keeping that in the podcast. Yes, please do.
Tackling snacking also then has kind of this trickle down effect where it's like, if I'm not snacking, which there's nothing inherently wrong with, it's just that we snack on these hyper palatable foods that are really easy to overeat and don't actually aren't actually satiating. So if you do less of that, then you're going to notice, oh, I'm physically hungry, and then you can start building more substantial, better balanced meals from the jump. And if you're eating an appropriate number of calories and a good balance of macronutrients at each meal, the necessity of snacking is much, much less. So those are a few things, you know, depending on your lifestyle that you could start with very easily that can make a difference.
How do you feel about the diets out there? Here's why I'm asking, right? There's so many of them, right? So I did, and I think, correct me here because you're the expert. I think they all work initially because you're doing something different in your body. This is just my way my thinking is, right? So I was doing the 16-7 fast or whatever it's called, the 16 hours no eating, whatever. And it was working for me for a while. And then it just didn't, right? It just wasn't doing anything. So I was like, oh, okay, what's up with that, right? Back in the day, remember Atkins?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay. So I did the Atkins diet for my wedding, lost like 50 something pounds, almost 60 pounds, lost all the weight, had a piece of cake at my wedding. And I felt like my life has never been the same. I just kept gaining weight and, you know, more than I had weight at that time. And so I'm like, dang, like that didn't work either. You know? So now people are telling me, well, have you tried the carnivore diet? Have you tried this diet? Don't, calorie counting doesn't work. That's not you know what I'm saying? Like there's so much information, Esther. I'm not trying to act like, you know, oh, I just don't do it. The truth is there is too much information. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you don't know what to do. I even tried being a vegan for a little while. I was deadly sick, right? I went to go see my naturopath because I love natural medicine. And she was like, can I ask you not to do the vegan diet? She goes, you're actually hurting yourself and because of my blood work and whatever. So give me your advice on that. Give me your thought process on that as the expert here, right? Because there's a lot of different diets. There's keto, there's paleo, there's Mediterranean. There's so Esther, help a sister out.
No, you are absolutely right. And this is a big part of the problem is that it's so overwhelming and there's so much conflicting information that if you look at a vegan diet compared to a carnivore diet, like they are at complete odds that carnivores are not eating anything that's a plant, and the, you know, then the vegans are only eating plants, and anything extreme is probably not going to pan out very well. There's a reason
that's what I thought.
We are intended to eat a variety of foods and colors and types, because that's what helps our body thrive. It's not just calories. It's not just macros. You know, vitamins and minerals matter also. So if you're taking these huge swaths of our diet and eliminating them, well, with that go the micro and macronutrients that those foods provide, which play a role in our bodies. So I'm, you know, pretty opposed to anything extreme. And I think what's so interesting is that people are so dogmatic about, you know, their way. But the reality of it is the underlying why any diet works is a reduction in calories. If you are eliminating all your animal products, well, all the calories you used to get from those foods, you're now not taking in. And usually what happens is there's sort of that adjustment period where at first you eliminate them all and now you're in this big deficit. But then as you get used to it, as you kind of start learning the loopholes of the diet, you're like, oh, well, Oreos are vegan? Okay.
Yeah.
You know, some more food that like fits the criteria starts creeping in. Yes. Same thing, you know, with carnivore is at first, you know, you're not used to eating a steak every meal. So you have, you know, 6 ounces of steak and you're like, all right, that's enough. And you just are eating way less because now you have no plants, you don't have the carbs. But at some point your body gets used to eating so much steak and now you want to eat more steak. So what used to be 6 ounces, you're like, well, if this is all I can eat today, I'm going to eat more of it. So it ends up, you know, our bodies want to maintain homeostasis. They want to figure out ways to balance the energy coming in with the energy coming out, just from an evolutionary standpoint, that it's not a good thing for our bodies to think we're in a famine. So whether it's increasing your hunger hormones so that now you want to eat more, or reducing your satiety hormones so now you want to eat more, or if it's downregulating your metabolic processes so that now you're expending less energy. You know, one of the things you'll notice when you're dieting for a while and you're not taking in much energy is that you start to get pretty tired and lethargic and you don't want to do things. So now maybe you used to walk the dog more often. You used to, you know, go out and socialize, just do stuff. You used to gesture like I am. And now you're kind of doing the bare minimum. You're like, I'm too tired to go for that walk. And, you know, I don't have it in me to flap my arms. And you just, now you're expending less energy. So our body has lots of ways to kind of maintain the status quo. But at the end of the day, although it's appealing, we do not need more rules. And that's why, you know, a lot of the reason that people like following a diet is because it's very black and white. It's just very explicit. Can I do this or not? Is that good or is that bad? And we like that we don't have to make decisions. And to an extent, that makes sense. We make decisions all day, every day, and we get tired of it. We have decision fatigue. And with that goes, you know, depletions and willpower and things like that. But at the end of the day, you can't outsource the decision-making about your health. You do need to be in the driver's seat. And that means you making decisions based on what makes sense for you. So I'm a fan of, you know, coming up with your own parameters or your own guidelines. For example, one of mine is I don't eat after dinner. Now, I allow myself exceptions to that when I deem it worthy. But for the most part, it just eliminates the need for me to have a daily negotiation with myself after dinner of like, ooh, do I want something? Oh, should I not? I just don't think about it. That's a personal rule that benefits me. And because I created it, I get to decide when and if it changes. If it's no longer serving me, I can change it. So what I would encourage you and your listeners to do is figure out what parameters would make it easier for me to eat and exercise and live in such a way that supports my goals without feeling like I am tied to this laundry list of rules that are pretty arbitrary and, you know, don't even necessarily make sense and that are making me feel kind of imprisoned rather than empowered.
That's really good, right? Because that's exactly what you're talking about, is empowering us to make that decision. I love that, because a lot of times we don't feel empowered. This is why we struggle, right? So I love that you said that's, I love the way you worded that, because you said that's my rule. So it's my rule. And I love that. You just did something to my brain. My brain went, okay, because I like to be in control. So that's a good thing. So tell me, you know, I want to wrap up, but before we do, I do want to know, give me a little a success story of one of your clients. I would love to hear a transformational story if you have one. And then I want to wrap up by having people know how to find you, how to work with you, because you're awesome. So just tell me about your client, how they transformed, and how we can find you.
Yeah, I actually have a client I was talking to earlier today, a former client. She's an alumni now, and she actually personality-wise reminds me a lot of you. She's just this like kind of firecracker, really high energy, really, social, extroverted. She started working with us, very, very unfortunately, the almost immediately after her husband passed of a sudden heart attack. And she, in her grief, realized, I cannot continue my life the way I have been. I am now the sole parent of my teenage children, and they need me. They need me now more than ever, and they're going to need me in the future, and I cannot continue living the way I have been. And it's like making me emotional just to think about. She's now down over 100 pounds, and her, she had a very good relationship with her kids prior to that, but it's only improved every area of her life. She and her kids are so rock solid in their relationship. She's thriving in her career. She's happy with who she is. And of course, she will always be grieving the loss of her husband, but she has taken that and used it as a catalyst for this incredible positive change in her life.
I
And
love
it's
it.
just, it's so inspiring.
I love that. Thank you for sharing that story. I have about 80 pounds myself that I want to lose, maybe even up to 100, but I know 80 is definitely the number I want to lose. So that inspires me. That's amazing, Esther. Thank you for that. How do people work with you? How do they find you? What does this look like? Tell us.
Yeah, great question. Our coaching, I have a business partner. Our coaching business is called Made by Me Coaching. That's our website as well. And we have always been very relationship focused. We know, I like to think of each coaching client the way I would a sister, a best friend, or my mother, in terms of there's so much more to this person than the number on the scale. Yes, we want to see that number go down. Yes, we want to reach these health goals and get, health markers back into a healthy place, but there's so much more to you than that. And our approach is very person first, that we know you have a family and you have a career, and that this is just part of what you're trying to do with your time. So we really figure out how to take, the principles that we've been talking about and apply them to your unique life and circumstances in a way that helps you develop kind of the empowerment and the confidence we've been talking about. Not like, oh, yes, I'm losing weight, but it's just because I'm doing what they tell me to. More so, I'm losing weight with their guidance because I am doing what I need to become the person that I want to be. And as I do that, I develop this confidence and this mentality that, of course, I'm going to be able to maintain these results because this is just who I am now. So yes, we provide exercise programming and we'll help you on the food front, but more than anything, we're diving into what's prevented you from being successful previously and how do we solve for those things. And that's where the real progress comes from.
Yeah, because it has to be a life, a whole lifetime lifestyle change for life, right? So, I love that. I love that you are doing what you're doing in the world, Esther. I love that you came on here. Thank you for sharing all of that. And thank you for giving us all these nuggets, because there's a lot of nuggets to take away from this episode. So, how do people find you, work with you? Like, where do they go?
Yeah, you can go to madebymecoaching.com/services to learn about coaching specifically. My book is called To Your Health, and you can find it on Amazon and wherever books are sold. And if you're a woman who feels like you've tried everything and you lose weight only to gain it back, and you've always kind of blamed there must be something wrong with me, this book is for you. It's basically a companion guide of everything that we've been talking about, why stuff hasn't worked in the past, breaking down, the framework that will help you be successful, the big rocks, getting your support system in place, the kind of intangible skills you need. So check that out. My podcast is also called To Your Health, and you can find out all the links to my social media and stuff at estheravant.com.
Thank you so much for being here, Esther. I
Thank you
appreciate you
for
so
having me.
much.
This was
This
awesome.
is super fun. Guys, thank you so much. I love to give you guys people who are experts in their field, because this is where your mind starts to work. And for all of you who are entrepreneurs like me and Esther are, right? Like for me, I've always worried about the bottom line, the money, the ROI, the blah, 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 blah. And I never took care of me, right? And that's where now at 52, I sometimes feel like I'm behind the ball, but the best place to start is today. So I'm going to start today. So make sure that you guys reach out to Esther. I'm going to link all of her information below, her book info, the whole thing. You guys need to start getting on that road to recovery in your life, because the second half of our life has got to be better than the first. I love you guys so much. This is Nina Perez. This is Straight Talk, No Sugar Added. Until next time.